I gave this platform to God, okay? I'm on a very specific mission.
We have to identify who the real enemy is. We have to know, where does this infiltration come from? The American people need a warrior that's unafraid to point out the real enemy. The American people are deserving of truth, exposure, and extreme accountability for the crimes against humanity that are being committed. We're on the brink of the complete collapse of America, while at the same time at the precipice of an amazing victory. If we want to prevent our children from facing a future bloodbath, I mean, I'm talking mass amounts of bloodshed, we need to step up and fight this war, and we need to fight it now. Uncensored. I refuse to be silenced or muzzled. Unafraid. No man will intimidate me. Unstoppable.
Last day of April. Tomorrow marks the first day of May 2024. Welcome to the Stu Peters Show. My name is Stu. So the movie Civil War, which follows the plot of a shattered modern-day America at war with itself, is raking in millions of dollars at the box office and is quickly becoming one of the most successful films in recent memory. So on one hand, the movie is being praised for its amazing visual quality and special effects. Some people are hailing it as a timely warning about the death and destruction that we could all be faced with were America to descend into a second civil war, something that a great many people are genuinely concerned about, logically. They're saying that no matter your political beliefs, you could take something away from the film. But at the same time, on the other hand, another group of people, many of whom claim to be on the political right, say that this civil war movie is an anti-Trump film. That it's promoting a fantasy about an attempted overthrow of the United States government as some form of predictive programming or as a way to inspire further divisions in an election year where various forms of civil unrest are likely on the table for political operatives. The film, these detractors say, is meant to stoke the flames of an already smoldering confrontation between opposing groups of American citizens and then encourage them to take the next steps. So to say the very least, the reviews have been polarized when it comes to media figures giving their opinions. But for the average guy going to the movie theater and watching this film, it's been widely popular. It made over $51 million in its first 15 days in the theaters. And it's still doing numbers. I want you to take a look at this movie trailer. Then we'll be joined for some expert insight into this Civil War film and what's really going on here. Watch.
19 states have seceded.
The United States Army ramps up activity.
The White House issued warnings to the Western forces as well as the Florida Alliance.
The three-term president assures the uprising will be dealt with swiftly.
Let me know if you want to try anything on.
I'm guys aware there's like a pretty huge civil war going on all across America.
We just try to stay out. With what we see on the news, seems like it's for the best.
Citizens of America.
The so-called Western forces of Texas and California
have suffered a very great defeat at the hands of the United States military.
Mr. President, do you regret the use of airstrikes against American citizens?
We're moving to D.C. today.
You need to go down there.
They shoot journalists on sight in the Capitol.
Every instinct in me says this is death.
Bloody.
Every time I survived the war zone, I thought I was sending a warning home. Don't do this. But here we are.
There's some kind of misunderstanding here.
What?
Well, you're American, okay?
Okay. What kind of American are you? You don't know?
The Western forces will reach the White House on July 4th.
Oh, my God.
Get in the car! Get in the car! Move, move, move!
You're gonna hang back.
I'm not hanging back.
One nation under God. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Go, 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 go!
God bless America.
Dave Martell is a filmmaker himself. He's already watched this film, the Civil War movie. He joins us now to give us his thoughts on this. Dave, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So what do you think is really going on here? Do you agree that this is inspiring Americans who are already polarized to take the next steps and do something similar to what we're viewing here?
Well, so the Civil War film is interesting to me in a few ways, and probably in a way that might not be apparent to a lot of your viewers here. So let's look at some of the rumblings that are going on among, you know, some folks that are in our sphere of thought when it comes to reception of this film. Now let's look at it from the point of view of, so when I first saw the trailer, I thought, this thing is going to flop. This is just another piece like we've been seeing out of Hollywood. Everybody's going to hate it. But to my surprise, it seems that the general population is receiving it very well. They love it. You can go into the comment section. You see over and over and over again on YouTube, it's time to bring America together. It's time to have a conversation. This is terrifying, XYZ. And that surprised me. So what is interesting to me, first, let's put on our conspiracy hats for a second.
Yeah.
Right. And this is not really that big of a conspiracy. So most of the rumblings in our sphere are folks that are kind of accusing this film of being, you know, a psyop, or perhaps operative conditioning, or predictive programming kind of thing. Some of the commentators are saying things like they believe that this film is a strategy to get the American population to kind of come back together. They're trying to put woke away a little bit, and they want to bring the folk back together so they can send us to a war. Now, I'm not a geopolitical strategist. And I don't think you need to be a geopolitical strategist to see that that is not very far-fetched. It's not very far-fetched to think that the American system, the machine, is gearing up to launch a war somewhere, right? The heat in the Middle East, the heat in the Slavic world, the heat elsewhere, BRICS, growing BRICS. There's lots of different factors. Like I said, I'm not a geopolitical strategist, so I'm not going to get into that kind of stuff. But to me, as just a guy that likes music and movies and stuff like that, it sort of looks like that. So what they would really want to do if they are gearing up for a war is kind of put woke away, because it seems like a lot of these new demographics of folks that they're bringing in don't really make good soldiers, and they need to appeal once again to good old Johnny Haystacks in Nowheresville, Indiana, because Johnny Haystacks can win a war for them. So they want to kind of go back, in my opinion, if we have our conspiracy hats on, they want to go back to a time sort of 9/11 Bush era patriotism, so they can have participation in the system once again, so they can launch this war. So, you know, that's the conspiracy hat on there. To me, What is very interesting, let's say that is true. Let's say it is a psyop. Let's say it is a form of operative conditioning. And this isn't far-fetched either. Let's be real here. The CIA, intelligence agencies all over the world, global powers, have had a vested interest in entertainment, music, movies for a very, very long time. It's one of their biggest things. They've admitted it in leaked documents. It's not a secret. So it's not far-fetched to think that this is at play here. It's very, very common for the CIA to be involved with entertainment. They've admitted it, as I said. But what's very interesting to me, and this kind of takes it in a completely different direction here, is that why did they go with A24? So the production, the studio that made Civil War, A24, that was surprising to me. I'll tell you why. So A24 is started out as a very indie, small fry sort of production company. They started out very humble beginnings. They were very indie, very underground, very low budget. And now they've blossomed into a multi-million dollar studio. But compared to the big six or the big five, your Universals, your 20th Century Fox, your Warner Brothers, they're still very small fries compared to them. So what is very interesting to me is that if this is indeed the case, that this is indeed a psyop, this is indeed operative conditioning by the intelligence agencies or the government or so forth, why didn't they call their good old boys in Hollyweird that have unfathomable budgets, and why did they go with A24?
Do you have a theory of why they did that?
So this is what's interesting to me in my domain of things. Is that there is no real logical reason for them to do that outside of Hollywood is incompetent and they stink at making movies. So A24, I'm not a big fan of A24. I you know, is not really my flavor of things. But one thing that I can't levy against them is that they make bad movies. Their movies are very beautiful. They have great color palettes. Their cinematography is wonderful. They are very adept at making nice looking, riveting, emotive movies. There are people that are very, very inspired by them. They have set the bar, the standard for that style of movie. And a lot of aspiring filmmakers are looking up to them nowadays. They have very much replaced the Hollywood of old. And studios like them, there's several other that are similar. So,
well, I mean, that all sounds great. I'm already a big fan. I've never heard of them before you mentioned them, but
well, you know, that's a whole other discussion about the review of A24 and some of the stuff that they get into, which is, you know, we can get into that another time. But effectively, what happened, if this is the case, is the CIA, the MI6. The NSA, whatever, the intelligence agencies said, hey, let's create this gigantic psyop to psyop the entire country into going to a world war, to trick them into going into a world war once again. Let's call the indie guys. That sounds pretty strange to me. So this is what's kind of going on in Hollywood, and this is why this is interesting. For many, many, many years, Hollywood has been the prized weapon of, you know, those who are in power, right? The people that we don't like, the bad guys. They have used it to slip in many subversive types of things. We could get into all that. Everybody already knows. Your listeners already know about all that.
Of course.
What is going on in Hollywood right now is a full-on collapse. Financially, they're hemorrhaging money. They're producing things that are very, very low bar. They don't have it anymore. And on top of it, what is really interesting, and I don't know if folks have been following this, but Mr. Stu, I'm sure you remember the strike that was going on in Hollywood with the Writers Guild and the actors and all of that. That was about artificial intelligence. At the core, that was about artificial intelligence. These people are terrified that their jobs are going to be evaporated overnight by artificial intelligence. Things like LLMs, large language models, things like vocal emulation, all of the different AI tools that are cropping up overnight, rapidly appearing. They know that they're going to be replaced. So they tried to do a power move, like a union move, to say, you're not allowed to do that. You must hire humans from now on. And the big studios, they struck a deal in the middle somewhere, but they pretty much said, we'll play ball with you for a minute, but at the end of the day, we are going to replace you with machines. We're going to replace you with computers. Now, this is interesting for us. This is very interesting for us, because for the first time in history, the access to creating art of this nature, whether it be film, whether it be music, whether it be your domain of choice, the bar is the access point is so low with these tools that are becoming available that Hollywood is going to become obsolete. So the most powerful weapon that has been used by the bad guys for a very, very, very long time, their most cherished possession, is now going to evaporate into thin air. And in our lifetimes, not just our lifetimes, in the next 5 to 10 years, you will have guys like me, you will have guys like you, guys like the folks listening, that if they have just a tiny little bit of budget and a little bit of know-how and willingness and some love for creation, they will be able to create Hollywood-level productions just at their computers.
Does this mean that I could actually just be out on my boat and not do this show every day? Somebody else will be here doing it, or actually nobody will be here. It'll just be some AI form of Stu Peters that knows what I want to say and uses my voice to say it.
So that's actually a one of the downsides that we're going to be looking. This is a huge topic. I know this is getting pretty far away from Civil War, but I guess we could bring it up. So right,
I think
now,
we're getting closer and closer to Civil War. But yeah, I've got 1 minute left here, and I just want your take on that. Is that what this means? Is everybody going to be just basically out of work, and AI is just going to take over anybody who appears on a screen, whether it be news or TV, sitcoms, drama series, movies?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that, and I don't know if I can explain it in a minute, but my answer is yes, and that might be a good thing.
Interesting. Well, I'd love to have you back to talk more about how that would be good, other than the fact that, again, I'll be on my boat fishing with my kids, have my feet up.
Sounds great.
Dave Martell, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
We say it all the time on this program. We don't have a government. No, we have a rogue, murderous corporate crime syndicate. We don't have any representation in Washington, D.C. But look around. Banks all over the place are collapsing. And then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. Biden says taxpayers won't pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? The Fed prints the money to cover the losses, which will cause more inflation, or they just get the money from the Treasury. Either way, you're paying for it. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Simple. Protect your wealth with physical gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now, just like I'm doing. I get my gold and silver from Goldco. Call them today, please, 855-706-GOLD. Learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Again, that number is 855-706-GOLD. Call Goldco today, 855-706-GOLD. Heart disease and blood clots and strokes and kidney failure. You hear these things, you think death. These are all deadly, and all of them can be found on the back of an ibuprofen bottle as adverse events. On top of all of it, ibuprofen doesn't even get to the main cause of your pain and swelling problems. It's only temporary pain relief. It's only masking the true problem, which is inflammation. That's not a solution to your pain. Not only is it ineffective, it's expensive and downright dangerous, especially for seniors. That's why researchers are saying right now to add this Antarctic supernutrient to your diet. I'm talking about omega-3 fatty acids, but not just any form of omegas that you get with regular fish oil at the big box store down the street. No, these are omega-3 fatty acids sourced from wild-caught krill. The omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, as well as reduce inflammation, swelling, and joint pain. In fact, it outperforms ibuprofen, Advil, and Tylenol, and it doesn't have all of those dangerous side effects that we just talked about. For a limited time, you can grab Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Just go to StopMyInflammation.com right now and get your special offer for being a part of this crew, this family. Go to StopMyInflammation.com. Again, that's StopMyInflammation.com.
What if I told you there was a hostile alien species that controls your appetite, sleep, and focus? Invaders that urinate and defecate throughout your body whenever they are hungry. We call them parasites, and they are the root cause of many health issues that result in pain, suffering, and death. The Purge is our solution. Purge Suddenly offers a unique blend of 17 detoxifying ingredients, including black walnut hull and wormwood, scientifically proven to not only kill parasites, but to destroy and flush them out. If you've never gone through a parasite cleanse or didn't do it the right way, our proven formula prepares you for a complete and total victory. Increased alertness, weight loss, and clear skin are just a few of the potential benefits customers have reported back. Kill the parasites, destroy their eggs, and build a big, beautiful wall inside your body to keep them out. It is time to purge suddenly. It's you or them. Make your move now.
So protests against Israel's war in Gaza and its slaughter of the Palestinian people are continuing at universities and cities across the country, even as the Israel First political class and corporate press do absolutely everything that they can, including pissing on our First Amendment to shut it down. At Columbia, which has been ground zero for this entire movement, the faculty is now joining in with the students by not just calling for an immediate ceasefire, but for the university to fully divest from Israel. Now, of course, the school refused to do so and ordered students to abandon their protest movement and the Gaza Solidarity encampment that they've constructed. But the faculty blocked those protesters and formed a human barrier around the encampment to prevent it from being destroyed. Now, those people, these people, regardless of where they may fall on our fake political spectrum, are asking, why are universities and every major corporation and government-tied entity in this country dumping millions and billions of dollars into an overseas regime that has killed tens of thousands of women and children just since October 7th alone? They're calling on universities that hold multi-billion dollar endowments but raise tuition each year anyways to stop sending money to Israel. Now, were they talking about any other country, it would be seen by most as a reasonable or even a noble argument. But because they're talking about Israel, and most importantly, because they're questioning Israel, the globalist legion of Zionist enforcers is trying to shut them down. But it doesn't seem to be working. The protests keep going. People from all walks of life are now discussing Israel and its outsized influence over the United States of America. Now, while at Columbia there have been arrests made and the student protest encampment has gone through various phases of growth and deconstruction, the response there doesn't hold a candle to the disgusting authoritarian crackdown that we've seen in Texas from Governor Greg Abbott. He has repeatedly sent the Texas State Police, decked out in riot gear, to the campus of the University of Texas at Austin to beat and arrest protesters for questioning Israel, for calling for a ceasefire. And he did it again this week. On Monday, a protest site at the University of Texas was forcibly dismantled by a Zionist goon squad deployed by Greg Abbott. And just like last week, when the Texas State Police came storming in, things got pretty physical. Multiple people were taken to jail over free speech. These people aren't ripping down statues. They're not burning down buildings and raping and targeting and assassinating police. But if they were, Greg Abbott and the rest of the Uniparty will let them run wild, just like they did in 2020. But you see, because these are legitimate protesters waving flags and potentially disrupting the Israel first status quo, they're being met with Soviet-style force. Suleyman Ahmed has been covering this free speech crackdown at length on his X timeline, and he joins us now to talk more about this. Suleyman, thank you so much for coming. What do you make of all of this?
I appreciate you having me on. This is almost the most important pivotal moment, both in the United States and throughout the world, because you've got this a scenario where the youth who are not as much being indoctrinated by this Israeli agenda are waking up and they're speaking out. And the greatest irony of this is that their movement is becoming so huge, you're having university after university join it. I believe there's almost 30 states plus that have now basically started these Gaza solidarity encampments. And what's important about it is, I believe that this is the most American thing that we've ever witnessed in our lifetimes, because the media has made Americans believe that protest isn't allowed. They've made it seem like such an evil thing, because why? Who controls the governments? It's the Zionists. So if they teach you that you can't protest against them, if they teach you that you can't use your mind, intellect, or critical thinking to speak out against them, they'll always have hegemonic control of the power that there is. And what we're seeing is that these students are showing the American right. Well, how did America start? It started in the revolution when you guys fought against out the Brits and threw them out. It was a rebellion. It was a revolution. How did slavery end? It was basically, in my view, started by a white Christian man, John Brown, who started a revolution, a rebellion against plantation owners. You look at, for example, in the 1960s, apartheid was ended that way. Vietnam, this is the most American thing that you've ever seen, and yet they've controlled people's minds into thinking, oh, they're just protesting. This is so un-American, which is when it's clearly the opposite. And what this has demonstrated is the harsh-handedness, the fact that police have been sent in, the fact that riot police have been sent in, the fact that they're physically, aggressively attacking American students for a foreign nation demonstrates the level of control that A, they have over the United States and the United Kingdom, but more so the United States in this situation, but also it shows that they flagrantly do not even care that this is being exposed. The fact that everybody's seeing, wait a sec, these are just American students. They're not being violent. They're literally just sitting on an encampment saying, we want our American money to not be from our universities, not to be sent to Israel. And for that reason, they're trying to shut them down. And more than that, these fake claims of anti-Semitism have been exposed in real time. They've not been able to provide anything except for a few encounters that now, based on research we found, are fake. So each one of them were actually done by either Israelis or there was contextual information. For example, there was a video of a chain of students stopping a Jewish boy from entering a certain area. It seemed problematic. It seemed anti-Semitic. They claimed and made claims of anti-Semitism. And then we found a video which showed that that very boy had physically attacked and assaulted people there. And all they were trying to do was ensure that there wasn't an escalation, that there wasn't fight. This is the level of propaganda that's going on, but they are being exposed in real time.
I think one of the most shocking things about all of this is the fact that they're doing this right out in the wide open. I mean, do you agree with that? This is the most revealing tell that these people could, we will, if you question Israel, we will physically crush you.
We will physically crush you, and we don't even care about the fact that you know about it. You mentioned Greg Abbott. Greg Abbott did a post about free speech, and now he's basically ending free speech. What this is doing is, you're right, they are not even trying to hide the fact that they control the United States now. They're not even trying to hide the fact that they control universities. They are just so flagrant about it. And that's actually much more scary, because what it shows is that they believe that their power is so strong. They believe that their control is so strong that an American like you, an American like Nick Fuentes, people who are truly America First from the right, or people who are from the left and are speaking against this oppression, that they don't care that you guys know about it, because they're like, our power is so strong that you can't do nothing about it. And the worst thing about Greg Abbott, what you mentioned about, is the mask is off again. You know, I always said October the 7th, the mask was off about everybody and their ideology and their thought. Anyone who complained about free speech and now is trying to censor free speech in real time is exposing the fact that they never cared about free speech. What they cared about is the fact that they didn't have the power to control speech. And now that they have the power to control speech, they are ending the speech of Americans. They've basically said that the Constitution, we're going to throw it in the bin. The First Amendment, we're going to throw it in the bin. It's completely the destruction of America and its values in real time. And you mentioned China and Russia, but there's a reason why America was the elite, because the Constitution was brilliant. Their ideology was brilliant. Their thought was brilliant. But now what we're seeing is a totalitarian fascist society that's taken over, and is by Zionism. Zionism has destroyed Western ideals from within, and this is a real-life example.
How can this be viewed as anything other than Israel has openly declared war on the American people on our own soil?
100%. You know, because people then think, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. It's Americans that are doing it. But they've got control of these Americans in terms of the congressmen, the senators,
right.
They're financially paying them. So in reality, they're the tool of the Zionist regime. And so in reality, just think about it. You're exactly right. And you said it succinctly. This is a war on Americans and their speech by a foreign nation. And the agents of that are the American people who've been put in power by these people. It's akin to what they used to call capos, or akin to what they used to call, for example, house, you know, in terms of people who would basically kowtow to their master and oppress their own people. That's what we're seeing in terms of these congressmen. That's what we're seeing in terms of senators. They are oppressing Americans for a foreign entity.
Where do you see this going? I've got 2.5 minutes left here. Where do you, this is, we've watched it spread from Columbia now to Texas and to other universities. We're seeing more and more people online are saying, hold on a second. And now, this is actually a physical war on our own soil. Okay, our tax dollars are going to a regime elsewhere, an oppressive genocidal regime, who's then using that money as leverage to buy people like Abbott into using the Gestapo in a Soviet-style raid to crush American dissent against the genocide that they're committing using our funds. Where does this go? I mean, how far does this escalate?
So there's two options, right? Either the Zionists are going to get what they want, which is they're going to end this. Everyone's going to know the truth, but they're going to continue to control like an oppressive totalitarian society, basically what you're explaining. And so everybody knows the Zionist controllers, but then we haven't to accept it. That's one option. The other option is, from what I'm hearing, the world is waking up. I'm hearing there's going to be a huge amount of protests in the United Kingdom coming up. The universities in the United Kingdom are going to join. It's going to become a worldwide movement. The people are going to speak up. And such is the level of movement that it's going to almost cause an awakening. And this is very important. The problem we have in the United States and the United Kingdom is there's no other option. Both in the United States, Donald Trump, Joe Biden, in the United Kingdom, Keir Starmer, Rishi Sunak, but all of them, all options are controlled by the Zionists. And we need a new option. We need someone who is in America First, Britain First, that is no longer in control of the Zionist regime. And this, the only way of doing it is to propel those candidates. The only person I know of who I could think of, but he's too young at the moment, is Nick Fuentes, and he needs to obviously start relaying to all sides. But other than that, I don't know anybody who is in the UK. We've got George Galloway. So other than that, I don't know anybody who basically is able to break that stranglehold unless we take control of, not control, we remove their control of our political systems.
About 45 seconds here. Do you see it as plausible or as a possibility that the Israeli people rise up against their own government and tear down Netanyahu's regime and replace it with a different form of government? They have to understand what's happening here.
They understand what this was happening, and they may do that, but then that's not going to be any better. In my view, when it comes to the Zionists, Netanyahu is just one example of many other Zionists. You can replace him with another name, another face, but this supremacist ideology, the Zionist supremacist ideology, permeates in their hearts and minds, and they are willing to oppress both the Palestinians in terms of the genocide.
Well, they're doing it here as well. It doesn't matter about whether it's Donald Trump or Nick Fuentes or whoever. We don't need another political candidate. We need another William Wallace, and a name that you forgot to mention is Stu Peters. Sulaiman Ahmed, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you being here.
Appreciate having me. Thank you so much.
We say it all the time on this program. We don't have a government. No, we have a rogue, murderous corporate crime syndicate. We don't have any representation in Washington, D.C. But look around. Banks all over the place are collapsing. And then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. Biden says taxpayers won't pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? The Fed prints the money to cover the losses, which will cause more inflation, or they just get the money from the Treasury. Either way, you're paying for it. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Simple. Protect your wealth with physical gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now, just like I'm doing. I get my gold and silver from GoldCo. Call them today, please, 855-706-GOLD. Learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Again, that number is 855-706-GOLD. Call GoldCo today, 855-706-GOLD. Times are uncertain, to say the least. And being prepared right now is more crucial than it ever has been before, which is why I'm here to tell you about this incredible offer from our trusted partner, American Reserves. For the entire month of April, American Reserves is offering you, the Stu Peters community, free 72-hour kits with any purchase. You heard that right. Free product with any purchase, no matter how many purchases. All you need to do is use code STU72 at checkout, because at American Reserves, it's not just about selling products. It's about ensuring that you and your loved ones are safe and prepared. This is your one-stop shop for high-quality, long-shelf-life emergency food, top-tier water filtration products, and essential survival gear. And they understand the value of being prepared without breaking the bank at American Reserves. To help make your family readiness even more accessible, American Reserves offers Shop Pay that allows you to get the products immediately and pay later. That means that you can secure your family's safety right now, today, and pay in small, manageable installments. No stress, no compromise on quality. Don't wait until it's too late. Visit AmericanReserves.com right now, grab your free 72-hour emergency kit with any purchase, and take a smart step toward being prepared. With American Reserves and Shop Pay, you're not just preparing for emergencies, you're investing in peace of mind. The American Reserves team are my friends. I trust them with my own family's preparedness. They're true Christians and patriots, and they help support my work. Go to the good people right now at AmericanReserves.com and use the code STU72 to check out and prepare your family. So let me ask you something. Are you dealing with any stress in your life? Everybody is dealing with stress. Believe me, in my personal life, I know a lot of things that stress me out. Stress is a common factor that affects everyone in today's fast-paced world, leading to various issues. What if the answer to better stress response is in a key nutrient? Magnesium. That's what I'm talking about. Actually, I'm specifically talking about Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers. This one-of-a-kind product is designed to reverse low levels of magnesium, which could be causing a multitude of other health problems. So what sets Magnesium Breakthrough apart is its ability to support healthy levels of stress hormones like cortisol, better balanced stress response in your nervous system and hormonal systems, and healthy production of GABA, the relaxing neurotransmitter that allows for more peaceful and better flow state. This means that this supplement acts as like a brake on your body's nervous system, helping them to calm and soothe themselves, promoting a better quality of life. but you have to get the right kinds of magnesium. The truth is, most magnesium supplements that you'll find in these health stores use only two of the cheapest synthetic forms, and since they're not full spectrum, they won't help your magnesium deficiency or do much to support your health. There are actually seven key forms of magnesium, and you must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, stress-balancing effect. That's why I only recommend Magnesium Breakthrough by Bioptimizers, because it's the only organic full-spectrum magnesium supplement that includes all seven of these unique and critical forms of magnesium for the best stress resilience and better sleep all in one bottle. Go to bioptimizers.com/Stu Peters. Again, bioptimizers.com/Stu Peters. In addition to the discount that you get by using the promo code Stu Peters, there's always amazing gifts with your purchase. That's why I also love shopping at Bioptimizers. Go now to bioptimizers.com/Stu Peters to get your magnesium breakthrough and find out this month's gift with purchase. Again, bioptimizers.com/Stu Peters. Welcome back. So it's no secret that white Americans are faced with a demographic crisis brought on by the genocidal campaign to ravage our country, to open our borders, to exterminate those descended from America's founding population. But of course, not before turning them into this hated and humiliated minority group that's told to just stand idly by and watch everything that they've ever held dear be obliterated, completely destroyed. These are the people whose ethnic makeup should actually be considered American, because they come from various European ancestors who converged on this land and then built the greatest civilization ever known to man. They forged a new ethnic group full of the blood of conquerors and explorers, and of the men and women who left Europe and the systems of the old world behind to forge a new way forward. These are the people who won their independence. They fought for it. They built a vast nation stretching from the Atlantic all the way to the Pacific. And their descendants went on to turn the United States of America, a young nation built on land once occupied by cannibalistic tribes without so much as a written alphabet, into the greatest superpower that the world has ever seen. But you see, in modern times, if you take a look at America, you will notice a rapidly shrinking white population. People who foreigners would often say look American are numbering fewer and fewer by the day, by the month, by the year. America's cities, which were once the envy of the world, constructed almost as monuments to our society, are now infested with black crime and violent third world invaders and every other kind of societal ill that we could possibly imagine. And then, of course, they're often joined in their cesspits by grotesque white leftists who just love to flock onto these cities and into these areas where they can live life by a lower standard and finally feel like they're doing something right. All of these undesirables converge on urban areas in this country, and then they make them unlivable. But this isn't just affecting America's biggest cities like New York and Chicago. No, this is hitting communities of all sizes all over the country, urban and rural. The small towns that were once seen as a safe refuge from collapsing cities are now themselves collapsing. Communities that were once dotted with independently owned shops and businesses or playing host to a manufacturing plant or a mill that employed the locals have now been pretty much erased from the map. And where they haven't been stamped out, it's in the process of happening. Now, I just want to be clear here. To put it plainly, millions of white Americans are living life on the run. Okay, they're fleeing cities. And now they're even fleeing the suburbs or their native small towns. They're looking for a place where they could maybe buy another 5 years of something resembling a normal American life before the inevitable happens. And the inevitable is their death and destruction. But this doesn't look like it's going to be the fate of citizens in at least one community, which is poised to become America's newest city. That's St. George, Louisiana. Just days ago, St. George got the green light from the courts to split off from Louisiana's crime-ravaged white minority capital city of Baton Rouge after St. George residents decided, rather than living here and rather than being in fear and rather than leaving their homes and their lives, they would leave the failing city and start a new one. It wasn't an easy process. The city of Baton Rouge badly wanted St. George to stay under its control because it was a reliable tax base. The city government knew the white residents of St. George, hey, they're employed. They own their homes. They'll pay their taxes. You know, white people things. So after they voted to leave Baton Rouge back in 2019, the St. George secession movement was tied up for years in court. But on April 26th, the court sided with St. George residents and ruled that they do have the right to incorporate their community as its own city.
Louisiana's highest court has sent its ruling down, paving the way for St. George to officially become its own city. Fox 44's Deshaun Johnson has more on this decision.
It's been an ongoing debate for years in the capital area whether or not St. George should be incorporated into its own city. And today, that final decision was given the green light.
They had hoped that we would get this process done. They voted in this election.
I will proceed to have conversations to determine the best course of action.
The Louisiana Supreme Court ruled in favor for the new city with a 4-3 vote. Andrew Murrell, who was a lawyer for the St. George Incorporators, says that this ruling made today was something efficient for the area.
We are open for everyone. If you want more opportunity, you want a better life, you want a chance for lower crime, St. George.
There were several concerns around the incorporation, with many stating that St. George wouldn't be able to support the necessary services. Mayor President Sharon Weston Broom discussed the recent changes and says that it's always been her goal to keep unity in the city.
I will always believe that keeping this city united was the right thing to do.
With this new ruling, St. George will now join the cities of Baker, Central, and Zachary as cities within East Baton Rouge. Murrell says that the constant dealings with going to court were unnecessary, while Mayor Broom says that she'll continue to have further discussion on the process of turning St. George into a city.
We can keep suing each other all day long, and that doesn't benefit anybody in this parish.
The only recourse at this time would be to ask for a rehearing in the matter.
Despite the court's decision, both Murrell and Mayor Broom will continue to advocate for unity amongst the city parish.
We would like to do something different, so let's work together and we can move fast, move efficiently.
I am committed to serving the residents of St. George, just as I serve those of Baker, Central, and Zachary.
Deshaun Johnson, Fox 44 News.
So, of course, you know, like clockwork, these black Democrats running Baton Rouge and the NAACP and all of their cheerleaders in the corporate press, they're running the old racism circuit. They're saying that the people of St. George are racist because this new city is going to be 70% white. But, you know, what's really amazing is that when you put this number into perspective, you'll pull up some old census documents and you'll see that in the year 2000, America was over 75% white. In the America that we all grew up in, St. George would have actually been less white than the rest of the country. But obviously, this is just no longer the case. Under the 2020 census, just 61% of Americans identified as white. Let's be realistic here. These numbers are no longer accurate. Who knows if they ever were? There's at least 30 to 40 million illegal aliens taking up residence in this country right now. And at this point, that's considered a fairly conservative estimate. Since Joe Biden was illegitimately installed as president, around 10 million people have invaded the United States, and those are just the ones that we know about. White Americans, the people whose ancestors founded and built this country and paved the way for the comforts that the entire world benefits from today at our expense, are becoming an endangered species. That's not being hyperbolic. If we were some kind of African tribe, National Geographic would be filming a documentary about us. Celebrities would be raising money to stop our extermination and genocide at the hands of colonialism. Since the end of World War II, but especially since the passing of the 1965 Immigration Act, which erased all consideration of racial and cultural and linguistic similarities when deciding who to let into America, this country's white population has been in freefall. And by the way, the 1965 Hartzeller Immigration Act was cooked up by a bunch of Jews. It was even named after one, New York Representative Emanuel Seller. You know, we used to be told that white replacement, white genocide, because that's what it really is, was just some kind of wild far-right conspiracy theory. We were told that Peter Brimelow and V-Dare were a bunch of racist, bigoted liars. But now not only is it openly admitted that our own government wants to replace white people, they actually brag about it. They tell us that this is a good thing. That the demographic makeup of this country is being completely overhauled, that our culture and our language, every single thing about us is being ripped away and smeared as racist and then replaced with something of a darker shade. White people are told from a very early age, you're not allowed to organize amongst yourselves. You're not allowed to advocate for your own interests or your own interests of your family and their community, because if you do, you're a racist, or you might even be a Nazi. Day in and day out, we're told by cowardly white politicians in this country that Israel is the greatest place on earth because it's a religiously homogenous ethnostate for Jews, and that it would be our greatest privilege as red-blooded, God-fearing Americans to go and die for it. But at the very same time, and by the same people, we're told that our country has never been diverse enough, and that the only way to atone for the earth-shattering accomplishments of our white American ancestors is for America to become brown. The mask is off, and it has been for quite a while now. Our so-called leaders, both elected and unelected, governmental and non-governmental, want white people dead. Let's not mince words. They want us dead and replaced with low IQ, third world populations that are easy to manipulate and control and that see us as disposable. The only way out of this is by standing up for ourselves like the people of St. George, Louisiana did. They peacefully separated from violent criminals and anti-white political thugs, and at this rate, the rate that things are going now, this example of St. George could begin to spread. Ed Dutton has extensively studied the demographic assault that's not just unfolding here in the United States, but in his native United Kingdom and all over the civilized world, and he joins us now. You're also an anthropologist, giving you some unique insight into this clash of civilizations. What's your take on this?
How do you do? Thank you for having me on. I thought you made a number of very interesting points there. And the thing that really struck me was the way that you focused it around the 1965 Immigration Act. And you focused it around what you see as a deliberate attempt on the part of elites to remove white people from, you know, from the United States and from the West. And I think we're seeing a much more nuanced process than that, and a process that's lasted a lot longer. I would look at this in broad evolutionary terms. Until about 1800, we had 50% child mortality. And we were selecting for certain things. We were selecting for intelligence. We were selecting for religiousness, which tends to make being group oriented into the will of God and is associated with mental and physical health. We were selecting for being group oriented and ethnocentric. We were selecting for being mentally healthy and physically healthy. We were selecting basically for what we would call group oriented moral foundations, being interested in the good of the group, obedience to authority, sanctity. And we were kind of selecting against being selfish and individually oriented, being only up for the good of yourself, being focused on equality, which gets more for you, being focused on harm avoidance, which gets more for you. And these things become, they're pleiotropically related. So they all become bundled together. And that's what we were selecting for. And that's why even now, our conservatism and religiousness, being right wing, are genetically associated with all markers of genetic health you can think of. Now, with the collapse of child mortality from 50% in 1800 down to fewer than 1% today, you're going to have a massive buildup of mutation. And that mutation is going to be in the direction of being individually oriented. I don't mean individually oriented in the Ayn Rand sense of individually oriented. I mean being selfish. I mean being focused on me, on the good of me, being basically left-wing. Because it's found that being left-wing, left-wing people are not interested in group-oriented values and the good of the group. They're interested in the individually-oriented values, in equality and in harm avoidance. And also, they're high in mental instability, because that's, you know, what we were selecting against. And physical illness, because that's what we're selecting against. And so because you're high in mental instability, you don't dare go for a fair fight, because you're neurotic. You're mentally unstable, so you virtue signal. You virtue signal about equality. You virtue signal about harm avoidance. You side with the outsider, the different ethnic group. You collaborate in order to get power within your own group. And that's what leftists do. They tend to value their moral circle is genetically further from self. They value the different ethnic group over their own, the different family over their own, and so on. And so what you would see is this buildup of mutation in the population, and eventually we would tip over into being a left-wing society, into being a liberal society. Eventually, it's been found in the experiments that when about 20% of a society think in a new way, then we tip over very quickly. And so we go from being a highly conservative, group-oriented religious society to runaway individualism, where, and then when that happens, you see intelligence, in normal range intelligence, you know, the midwit, normal range intelligence is associated with social conformity. Because more intelligent people, they look around the world, you know, and they notice, oh, this, if I socially conform, I'll get higher status, I'll get more resources. So they force themselves via effortful control to conform. And so then intelligent people competitively signal equality, harm avoidance, and it goes on and on and on and on. Runaway individualism, runaway harm avoidance, until you get to a point where you can't say a man's a man and a woman's a woman. And until you get to a point where you start saying, as a white person, you signal your goodness and your morality by saying it's bad to be white, it's wrong to be white, you shouldn't have children if you're white, you shouldn't pass on your genes if you're white, you should flagellate yourself eternally if you're white. And what you're doing then is you're putting people not on the adaptive roadmap of life, which tells them to, you know, look after their group, be pro-social, pass on their genes, all that sort of thing, but on a maladaptive roadmap of life. And then you're creating a selection event where the only people that will be resistant to a society that is telling them to damage their own interests will be those who are genetically resistant to that. And who will those people be? They will be those who are genetically religious and genetically conservative. And we know that the heritability of religiousness and the heritability of conservatism is about 0.6. So about 60% of the differences is to do with genes. So this is a selection event. And although in general, intelligence is negatively associated with fertility weakly, if you control for intelligence, if you just look at the top quartile of intelligence, then you find that in America, I look at this in my book, The Past is a Future Country, The Coming Conservative Democratic Revolution, then in the top quartile, the big predictor of fertility is that you are religious and you are conservative. And the big predictor of sterility is that you are liberal and you are an atheist. Both are becoming stupider, but the liberals are becoming stupider more quickly among the white population. And so what that augurs is a tipping back among the Generation Z or whatever, who seem, by the way, to be not as liberal as they should be. If you compare people aged 20 and people aged 40 and how liberal they are, there's a clear difference always. And they're not as liberal as they should be. It implies a polarization effect whereby these people are becoming splitting up and becoming in some way more conservative. And so you have a flip back towards conservatism. Eventually, this would come among whites, and liberalism would just be ethnic minorities, the foreign right. And the other thing that, of course, this does, this process of telling white people they're bad, is it creates a sense of solidarity. It creates a sense of in-group connectedness, a sense of, OK, yeah, we are bad. We don't care anymore. It's gone too far. We no longer care what you say. And you would expect a retreat on the part of white people, and perhaps also more intelligent Jewish people and more intelligent ethnic minorities as well. They might white a line. When Rome collapsed, and we are going to collapse as civilization, because we're losing about an IQ point per decade due to the negative correlation between intelligence and fertility. That means in 3 decades, you halve the number of people with an IQ of 130. Society will decline. But Rome didn't completely decline, you see. It retreated into a sort of Byzantiums, where civilization held out. And it sucked in the more intelligent and the more conservative sort of people, and it held out against the barbarians at the gate. And I would suspect that this is what would happen. And this is what these people in Baton Rouge are doing. I suspect they're relatively religious. I suspect they're relatively conservative. I suspect they're relatively intelligent. And they've had so much pushed at them over such a long time that they've just thought to use English parlance, bugger it. We're not having this anymore. And they break away. And also, if you get a multicultural, a multi-ethnic society, Rob Putnam's research showed this, it eventually balkanizes. It balkanizes for two reasons. One, if intelligence is in decline, trust goes down. Intelligence is in decline. And two, it's just from an ethnic genetic similarity theory perspective, we tend to cooperate more and trust more those that are like us. And so therefore, trust declines. And three, trust declines even among the whites, because the whites will perceive correctly that some whites will collaborate with the ethnic minorities against them.
Yeah, we see that happening already. I mean, you see these,
Absolutely, because as I said earlier, the left-wing whites are born traitors.
Yeah.
Their moral circle of normal people is you are at the center, and then your family, and then your kin, and then your ethnic, and then your race, and then your species, and then other species like that. The moral circle of leftists is different. It's steps away from them. They identify, you know, with a different class over their own, let's say. And this permits them to collaborate with that class to gain power over their own class. And you see this with the Labour Party in the UK or with the Democrats or whatever. So this process is occurring. I see it as an evolutionary reaction. If you take away evolutionary pressures, which we have done, they have collapsed. 50% child mortality, 1%. Then what you are selecting for is people who, and if you place then a negative evolutionary pressure, i.e. you pressure people, you hypnotize people, induce people to act in against their genetic interests, you hijack their desire for status, you will get status. If you renounce having children, you will get status. If you renounce the good of your people, then you set up a genetic selection event. So you could almost argue these people, these leftists, I used to call them spiteful mutants. You could argue they are altruistic mutants. They are helping to bring about a situation where the only white people in America that will be left will be highly conservative, highly ethnocentric, highly intelligent, i.e. exactly the kind of white people that existed before the Industrial Revolution. And because those things correlate with being mentally and physically healthy, highly healthy as well. So that when the next solar flare hits and knocks out the electricity system, or when the next volcano erupts as it did in 1200 BC and caused the Bronze Age collapse or whatever, then there'll be people that will be healthy enough to survive and healthy enough to win the battle of group selection that gets set off when resources are limited. So in a sense, it is a group level adaptation. Wokeness can be seen as a group level adaptation. So when you say they are deliberately doing this, it is the great replacement. You can interpret it like that. In fact, I've interviewed on my show, The Jolly Heretic, René Camus, who came up with the idea of the Great Replacement. But I'm not sure it's quite so much a conspiracy. I think it's got deep evolutionary underpinnings. And that's the result is the same, which is these people are breaking away. And of course, everyone's in panic about it because these are the people that are intelligent. These are the people that are hardworking. These are the people that pay the taxes.
But these are also the people who will survive. So... yes. There is a bright outlook in that. I'm out of time. I got to get to break, but brilliant take, actually. And I'd like to have you back to talk more about how deep this, you know, this evolutionary process actually is. Ed Dutton, thank you so much. God bless you.
Pleasure.
Let's face it. Our power grid is completely unstable, which means that our communications, your cell phone, is completely unstable. You ever have an outage? You go somewhere where there's no service? So between the massive illegal invasion of our country and the billions, of course, that we're sending out to other nations, our grid remains at risk every single day. Last year, an electronic substation had a sudden massive voltage surge. It left over 1 million homes without power and threatened the grid. How did this happen? This happened because of a simple rodent infestation. Look, the media won't tell you that we're so vulnerable to a grid collapse, but I will. Now, the way that you stay vigilant and prepared when emergencies like this happen, it's not just through stockpiling canned foods and making an end times bunker. No, you need to have a form of reliable communication that's also fast and easy to use. Rapid Radios provides an array of quality-built walkie-talkies, 4G LTE walkie-talkies, and emergency radios that get service everywhere, and they're made for everyone. Your kids and your grandparents can easily use this nationwide LTE walkie-talkie to stay connected with fast communication, no matter where you are. I use them on my boat. And these devices aren't just for emergencies. Like I said, me on the boat, your family taking them camping, as their compact design makes them great for travel. They're durable so they can handle tough conditions and keep you connected. Rapid Radios offers nationwide coverage. Nationwide coverage with no monthly fees, no contracts, and unlimited use. You heard that right. Support American company Walkie Talkie. Nationwide usage, worldwide, wherever there's satellite service. These are talkies for emergency communication as well as for recreational communication. I highly encourage that you visit rapidradios.com and use my promo code STU for a big discount. Again, rapidradios.com, promo code STU. I'm going to ask you for your undivided attention because I'm going to tell you about what could possibly be the most important life-saving supplement that I have ever talked about. It's called Cardio Miracle. Each serving of Cardio Miracle has a combination of over 50 high-quality ingredients, including a huge variety of fruits, vegetables, amino acids, and herbs, all of which come together to promote your body's ability to produce nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is so important for heart health. It helps to relax and dilate your blood vessels, which supports blood flow and circulation. And I love that you don't have to take this giant pill to get all of this nutrition. No, Cardio Miracle comes in a powder formula, so it's really easy to mix all day throughout the day into juice or water and take it at any time. That also helps to support mood regulation because it's a neurotransmitter. It's a neuromodulator in the brain. So it can support the release of serotonin and dopamine, both of which are really important and involved in mood regulation. Cardio Miracle also supports mental clarity, sleep quality, energy levels. It can even help with recovery after exercise. Nitric oxide is essential for so many functions in the body, and Cardio Miracle supports the production of nitric oxide, so you get many benefits from just one supplement. please go to highpowerheart.com. Again, highpowerheart.com. I'm telling you, this could quite possibly be the most important supplement that I will ever talk about. Cardio Miracle. Go to highpowerheart.com.